Blog Talk Radio.
The British lady can't count. She really can't. She really can't. I love her accent, but she can't count. Good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am joined by...
Just back in time from Amish country, where I found out the Amish Powerball is up to 4 dozen eggs. It's Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we are here with...
Cookie Monster.
And the Cookie Monster.
And Cookie Monster. Ah, Cookie. Me rock, Cookie.
Yeah, I edited that thing all week. I just finished it today.
Cool.
Completely.
I will check this out in a minute. But...
Yeah.
We've got, we drew up the drawbridge to let you all in. I see GGSI Paper is in the chat, along with good old Bob. Thank you for joining us live, as we got shows about castles, spelled with a C.
Wait, is there another way to spell castle?
There once was.
Yes. There once was, yes.
There once was. It was a nice place while it lasted. Yeah, it was. But this is a nice place. We got oldie tiny radios about those royal residences. That's right, we're talking about castles.
Click, click, crunch, crunch.
Have any of you guys been to a castle?
Have I been to a castle? I'm thinking, I know. I've been to the Disney World castle once, but you never get to go inside.
We have something out here. Dave, have you ever heard of Squire's Castle? It's up towards
I haven't been there.
It's up towards I have been there a few times. It is, I don't know if it really was a castle, but it was someone's residence once, and it's very castle-like. Very, very old, and it's actually got converted to park property now.
Yes, yeah.
So it's a stone structure, but you know, you can hang around and picnic there or whatever.
And I have been to Stan Hewitt Hall and Gardens, and very much castle-looking, but it wasn't a castle. But it was a residence of John Seiberling, who was a guy who was in charge of Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company.
How about you, Gar? You ever been to a castle?
Is the Goodyear guy flying balloons around the U.S.? Is that what's going on? No, I have been to the Disney World castle, so yes, I have.
Ah.
I've been to the Haunted Mansion, but that's not a castle.
That's not a castle. That was really cool. I haven't been out to any of that crazy stuff in decades.
Have you ever made a sand castle?
Mm-hmm. Probably have one time,
but I can't say that I would have passed the building codes in the area.
Wow! Did you guys see Fogsbane in here? And he's not in here now, or
I
do not
see
him yet.
Nope.
But GGSI paper says happy the day the music died day and National Bubblegum Day.
Ooh, it was. Yeah, the day the music died. Good old Buddy Holly.
And since it's Bubblegum Day, we'll be playing the Archies and the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. No.
And
a lot of radio.
They were supposed to be like, monkeys are supposed to be bubblegum, I think, weren't they?
Yes.
But they went
They ended up being far more than that, but that's what they were kind of
playing. Yes, then they morphed into much more.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I recall in my youth. Very sidebar. I just saw this and I didn't know, but Melinda Dillon, who played the wife in the Christmas Story movie, passed away at 83.
Oh, no. She was in a lot of things. She was in a lot of things.
Yeah.
I believe, wasn't she the mother also in Close Encounters?
Oh, yeah, I think she was.
She was the mother of the little boy.
Terry Garr. Oh, okay.
No, Terry Garr was the wife of Richard Dreyfuss, but Melinda Dillon was the woman he hooked up with to go to Wyoming because they were both having visions of Devil's Tower. Yeah. Can you tell I love that movie?
I don't keep all kinds of information in my brain, but selective. So, yes, I would say you're enthused about it.
I love Close Encounters when it came out. I was jealous. I'm like, I want to go.
Right.
Did you see Visions that wasn't on the screen?
Mm-hmm. Fonzbane has arrived. Yay. The man, the myth, the legend.
Or in other words.
And we are doing Screaming Goats in the Castle. It's because we're out of mutton. Anyway, don't you eat mutton when you're in a castle? I don't know why I said that.
I don't know. I got plenty of mutton.
It sounds like a European meat that would have been offered.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. We got and just to fit the bill, I think the shows that we have just lend themselves to these kind of stories. We got Hall of Fantasy. We got the Shadow. No. Yeah.
Yes, the Shadow. Yes.
The Shadow. Oh, there we go. Uh-huh. I'm looking for it in the list. Can't find it. And we also have Every Castle Needs a Cave. So it's back to the Hermit's Cave, and I miss that guy and his little cackle.
Uh-oh, I'll be under the covers for that one.
Yeah, that's a crazy one because there's very little data to support when these actually aired. So we don't really have an air date, 1940 sometime. And it's like, well, that's, you know, a whole 10 years or something.
Yep.
You're right, I don't see the Shadow. I'll be working on that.
Oh, no, that's a labeling issue. I see it now. To label the issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Shadow is terrible legend,
oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's there. It's got double label. I see it.
As we say, label.
This is why we're a team. This is why we're a team. It all works out in the end.
Label. Hey, watch it. Label.
If it says Libby's on the label. Like it.
Yeah, a real quick sidebar. I know we're all about the radio. There's a new Supernatural little series out called Lockwood and Company. And if you like ghosty stuff, a lot of fun.
Ooh.
TV series. Lockwood.
Ah.
L-O-C-K-W-O-O-D and Company. And they're not Ghostbusters per se, but they live in a place that Dale would like to live in a
Parma
a universe
no.
that has yeah Parma yeah that
the universe
there's,
that has.
There's yes there's now I can't think of the word what Parma is polka there's polka dancing and ghost in this one universe they live in
that'd be perfect.
Polka riots
yeah I like it
I've been scrolling. I've been scrolling like crazy because there was some guy that was very prolific, I think in radio, but also in other things. The day of his passing or the day of his birth. And I can't. I'll see if I can keep scrolling and find it. But maybe he was the voice of. No, he wasn't the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
He wasn't the voice of Melinda Dillon, was he?
Only on Tuesdays. We had to pay him extra.
He was the voice of Ernest Borgnine.
That's got my binder. There you go. What is a very small bald guy, and he had a very small unique voice. And there's a lot of black. I think he's probably on Andy Griffith, but he was in a lot of movies. And I just saw
Clint Howard.
No, Clint Hass is here. It'd be Ron Howard.
Clint Howard was unique looking, and he was a lot shorter.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Clint was,
but he had his hair, so as,
yeah.
Not the bald
guy. He was
guy,
a little boy in General Ben, I think.
Yeah.
Frank McGrath? Frank McGrath's birthday was this week. He was in a lot of westerns and this, that, and the other.
Got a lot of radio. A lot of radio.
Got a whole lot of radio. We can probably start at any time.
We probably could. We ought to start with The Shadow since we've discovered it. The Terrible Legends of Crown Shield Castle. Yeah, and it was originally broadcast
December 28th, 1947.
The
Shadow Knows.
The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, a wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret. The hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Terrible Legend of Crown Shield Castle. In the scullery of Crown Shield Castle, a desolate structure rising high on the river bluffs, a maid and butler talk in hushed tones as a blizzard rages in the wintry night outside.
I tell you, there's terror in the night, Henry. I can feel it in my bones.
You'd better see a good witch doctor, Bridget. The idea, a woman your age getting upset over that old Crown Shield fairy tale.
Fairy tale, is it? If only it were true. But I've heard the hoofbeats in the night, Henry. And I've seen the lightning.
A madman, strong as an ox, riding through the countryside, spreading terror. A likely story.
And what about the horse, Henry? The poor old lathered beast they found ridden to death last week.
Or a runaway animal from a neighboring farm.
So? And what about the night before last, when a hired hand was most beaten to death on a lonely road by a mysterious attacker?
Only unrelated incidents. No proof that old Crown Shield's ghost is abroad.
Mark my words, Henry.
It's time you dressed for dinner, Bridget.
Oh, I'm not going to take that dreaded trip into the night to a servant's quarters.
Bridget?
Oh, all right. I'm going.
Your only danger is a touch of frostbite. Hurry now.
Oh, I don't like going out into the night like this. I don't like it at all. It would be well if I was carried away by the wind itself. Oh, the snow is blinding. I can scarcely see the quarters. What's that I'm hearing? Who's this part of the night? The man approaching on horseback. You! No! It can't be! It can't! Oh, let go! Let go of my throat!
Just a second, all of you. Let Henry tell us what happened.
Oh, Bridget and I have been talking about the legend, Mr. Crownshield. She walked out the back door to change into her serving clothes.
Yes, Henry?
Oh, she just stepped outside when I heard the sound of hoofbeats. She called, and I ran out and found her here in the snow like this.
Henry, we're so sorry.
The sound of hoofbeats.
Her neck's been snapped like a matchstick. Well, it's fantastic.
It's the legend. It's that rotten legend come to pass. Old Crown Shield's back from his grave to spread terror through the countryside, just like Bridget said.
Henry.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. What else take life of a kindly, innocent woman like this?
Yes, and who else would have the strength to murder someone that way?
Sheila?
Yes, Father.
Brad and I will help Henry. You go inside and notify Dr. Cummings.
Yes, Father, right away.
And be sure you tell no one else about this. You understand? No one. snowstorm gets much worse, Margo, we'll need radar to find the Crown Shield estate.
Must say your telephone friend didn't take a very considerate time to pry us away from that holiday party.
Now, don't worry, darling. We're almost there. If call hadn't come from an old servant of Ted's, that wouldn't have been such an easy Margo.
Well, I still think you gave it an awfully high priority.
A1 priority, Margo. Henry said his wife, Bridget, had been murdered.
Murdered?
Yes. By a phantom who rides through the night.
Oh, Lamar.
That's what he said. Something about a legend coming to pass.
Your father's former servant couldn't be slightly touched in the head, could he?
On the contrary, darling. Henry sounded very convincing over the phone. Alarmingly so.
It's all beginning to sound a little frightening. Who are these Crownshields, anyway?
An old and wealthy family living in what's practically a castle. There's the old man and his two grown children, Bradley the son and Sheila the young daughter.
Oh.
Oh, here's the driveway.
Isn't exactly bursting at the seams with gaiety, is it?
Well, castles are supposed to have a grim background, darling. Apparently this one has reason to be foreboding.
Mr. Cranston, sir. Well, very good to see you again.
Hello, Henry. Glad to see you. This is Miss Lane.
Oh, how do you do, Miss Lane?
Hello, Henry.
I was sorry to hear the bad news. Any new developments since you called?
Oh, nothing since our telephone, sir.
Who's that, Henry?
Oh, it's Mr. Lamont Cranston, sir. The gentleman I spoke about.
You're Bradley Crownshield, I presume.
That's right, Mr. Cranston.
This is Miss Lane.
Huh?
We were attending a nearby holiday party when we got Henry's call.
Miss Lane?
How do you do, Mr. Crownshield?
Frankly, Mr. Cranston, I hadn't anticipated calling in a private investigator.
I see.
Oh, Henry took it upon himself to phone you without our knowledge.
Well, I'm begging your pardon, Mr. Bradley, but I thought you might not want the authorities in on this right now.
So?
So I called Mr. Cranston, sir. With his background of criminology, I'm sure he can help us with the mystery of Bridget's death.
If you'd rather we go, Mr. Cranston,
No. As long as you're here, I guess maybe you'd better stay. Come on, let's go in the living room.
That fireplace looks wonderful. Nearly frozen.
Hello, Lane. It's Cranston. That's my sister, Sheila.
How do you do? I'm so glad you've come. I'm really afraid to spend another night here at the castle without some outside help.
What makes you think Mr. Cranston is going to spend the night here, Sheila?
Oh, this is my father. Lane, Mr. Cranston.
Cranston,
whom you seem to recognize.
I told you distinctly not to tell anyone else about this unfortunate incident.
Father, please. Come on. I think maybe we better go.
No, please.
Bradley, please ask him to spend at least a night.
Well, I will be calling a crystal grazer, too. He might be able to give you a schedule of the night rider's next appearance. If you'll pardon me, I'm going to bed. Good night.
If we'd realized Henry's call was going to create so much friction.
Oh, no, please don't mind Father and Mr. Cranston. He isn't well. Make them stay, please, Bradley.
Well, suppose if you'd feel better, Sheila.
If we can be of any help to you and Henry in clearing up this mystery, we'll be glad to stay. Won't we, Margaret?
Of course. Thank you very much.
All right. Now, Henry will show you to your room, and then I suppose we'd better discuss this whole business in detail.
This isn't exactly my idea of model behavior for the unexpected guest. Snooping around the house after everybody else has retired.
I haven't much choice, darling. Little family talk about the whole business didn't get us very far.
Family seems convinced the legend has come to pass, all right.
Yes. Let's see, there's a library here at the end of the hall. They'll make that our first objective.
The door's closed. Oh, they unlocked it.
I don't think they mistrust us that much. Let's see. No, they don't. Come on in, darling.
Still enough fire going among those embers to light the room.
There's quite enough. Seems one of the Crown Shields did some late reading. That's a book on the table. Let's have a look.
And it's a family album.
Yes. Just the very thing we're looking for, Margot.
Hmm?
The history of the legend. But some important parts seem to have been cut out.
Well, it's fantastic. Read this, Lamont. Old Joseph Crownshield was taken into custody pending a sanity hearing.
During the night, by superhuman strength, he bent the bars of the jail sufficiently to permit his escape.
He was seen several times after that galloping about the countryside on a foaming horse. And several violent deaths afterwards were attributed to his fearful strain.
Now, look. The fireplace. Fragments of paper still burning.
Yes. One of them looks like part of a photograph. Maybe we can salvage part of it. Yes, I've got it.
Well, what is it, Mark?
Oh.
What is it?
I'll tell you in a minute, Margot. Right now, I think we'd better get upstairs and fast.
I wish you'd stop being so mysterious, Mr. Cranston. Whose photograph is that you pulled out of the fire?
I hope I'm wrong about this, Margot, but it looks right now as if maybe the legend has come to pass. And if we don't hurry, it may come again.
Legend come to pass? Margot, where are we going now? At least you can tell me that.
Right down here to the end of the hallway.
What are those stairs at the end of the hall?
They lead up to the tower room where Henry sleeps on.
Henry! Oh, Margot.
Sounded like Henry's voice. Come on. Stairs here to the tower room. Henry's voice, all right.
Someone's trying to kill me, Mark. That's the way Bridget was murdered.
Right, here's the room. Locked. I'll break it down.
Hurry, Lamar, before it's too late.
Get in, here goes. Henry!
He fell from that window.
Or was thrown.
But who could have done it? The room's empty. Who, Lamar?
Listen.
We'll return with the finale of the Terrible Legend of Crownshield Castle right here on Erie House Radio.
Very spooky.
Did you guys notice that when Lamont Tansen turned into the castle entrance, he was on two wheels spinning dirt?
Cool.
I missed that.
It's a very abrupt. I wasn't watching.
I wasn't watching.
I put a little blurb in the chat there so everyone might
pick up on
it. I was
listening,
but
happened, I wasn't but... watching.
Yeah. I was watching with my mind and I didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I did. The whole half of the car came off the ground. It was crazy.
What would Freud say? I don't know. He'd probably be scared of all three of us.
Freudian slip covers for everybody.
That's right. My Freudian slip is showing.
Better cover up.
Yeah, all about castles. Castles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some cold in this castle here tonight, Dale. Why don't you turn up the heat? Because the castle is cold tonight.
Because I'm cheap. Cheap, I tell you.
Oh, mm-hmm. I guess that answers that.
If you could go to any castle in the world, Gar, where would you go?
A Scottish castle somewhere.
Scottish? How about you, Dave?
Scottish.
No, I would go with an English castle.
I'd be torn because I would like to go down the Rhine and see some of the old German castles, but part of me wants to see the remains of Vlad Dracul's castle.
Oh, in the Carpathian Mountains? That one?
Yes. Just to say I was there, you know?
Well, in the mountains, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Because it's there.
Yeah, you want to dress for it.
Recently I read that someone was adverse to Count Von Count from Sesame Street because it confused children about being kind to evil things. And I was like, it's the Count. Come on.
It's a puppet.
He's a puppet.
Wonderful.
I know.
Wonderful.
This year,
the last day of this year is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Exactly. And they were saying that this vampire-like puppet was improperly teaching children about good versus evil and how to deal with evil. And I was like, it's the Count.
Well, actually, the way it does show you how to deal with evil. you make it comedic. It's what Mel Brooks did with a certain evil person from the middle of the last century.
The history of the world part, whatever.
The Dead and Loving It, right?
He did that too.
But no, Gar picked up on what I was thinking about. He mocked the that regime that tried taking over the world in the 1930s and 40s.
But starts with R. Yeah, that one.
He even did that video called the Hitler Rap. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, and Hitler on Ice in
the
producers. Yeah. He was good at making a mockery of evil, and I think it helps you if you don't take these people seriously, they don't get into power, you know?
Right.
Don't let the crazy people run the asylum. Which I think is an apt comment these days. But
yeah.
Let's wrap up.
Is she chasing down your pet spider again? Is that what happened?
Yes. It's a spider that wears boots. Yeah.
He wears boots.
Chasing it down the hall.
Heavy hoodie.
Where do you get four pair of boots for a spider?
At the discount shop.
On eBay, of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I should have thought of that. I didn't know. Who knows? Who knew? Who knew? Who knew? Part two. So, well, the terrible legend of Crownshield Castle. The conclusion. With or without goat.
Violent death has struck twice in the gloomy shadows of Crownshield Castle, as apparently a terrible legend has become a reality. Right now, Margot and Lamont are staring at the high tower window from which Henry the butler has just been hurled.
What a terrible way to die.
Terrible and terrifying. There's no reason to take Henry's life. Most kind and loyal servant never lived. It's just sheer unreasoned violence.
You know, too, I'm suggesting it's a legend.
Yes, Margot. A legend has come to pass.
Are you saying that a goat, the phantom of old Joseph Crownshield, has come back from the dead to spread death and destruction?
No ghost, Margot. A very real, very live person. The photograph that someone tried so hard to destroy was of the present Joseph Crownshield.
Oh?
And Margot, he's an exact image of his ancestor, from those wild gray eyes to the immense physique.
No.
Yes. Come on, darling, downstairs. Going to see our host in person, if he's to be seen.
I still don't see. If it is Mr. Crownshield, how did he just vanish into thin air? The tower room was empty when we broke in.
I was wondering about that myself. Oh. That's funny.
What?
There, the door to the Crownshield bedroom is open. Oh, wait a second.
The door's been ripped off its hinges.
And now the inside bent double. Crownshield must have been locked in.
By either Brad or Sheila.
In a fit of rage, he ripped open the door and escaped. Margot, I've got to find Crownshield.
Yes, but where? How?
I don't know, Margot. I think the shadow can locate him.
Why, Brad. What are you doing out here in the stable plant?
Well, I might ask you the same thing, Bradley.
I was in my room when I heard a cry and I ran out. I found Henry under the tower window. He's dead, Father.
Henry? Dead? But who could have done this?
That's what I'd like to know, Father.
The legend. It's come to pass.
No, I don't think so.
What do you mean?
Where have you been within the last 15 minutes?
Right here in this stable. I came here several hours ago to go over some things in the storeroom up in the loft.
Right.
I guess, Fred.
Your footprints running from the house to the stable are still very clear in the snow. Here, look.
So they are.
You've been outside, Father, riding. That's very obvious from your appearance.
No.
There's a riding crop in your hand, still flecked with foam. Why don't you realize that I've known all along that something like this was happening?
What are you saying, Brad?
This legend isn't a myth or a phantom riding through the night. It's you.
No, Brad, no. I didn't strangle Henry. I swear I didn't.
Oh, there's been a sickness of the mind in this family for generations. It, It's just fallen to you, that's all, Father.
Brad.
Yes?
You've got to help me.
Of course, Father.
You will help me. Won't you, Brad?
Don't stare at me like that.
You've got to help me, Brad. You, can't you?
I will, Father.
Brad, come here.
Come, Father. Now, don't. Stay away. Stay away.
Who's that? Who laughed? Who's in this room?
This is the Shadow.
Shadow?
Yes, Sheila. Shadow is right here beside you, though you cannot see him.
Well, what do you want with me?
Information, Sheila.
Information?
Where are your father and brother? Shadow has searched the castle. Where were they at the time of Henry's death?
Henry's death?
Where were they?
I don't know. Believe me, I don't.
But you do know things about this legend that you haven't told, don't you, Sheila?
Well...
Don't you?
Yes. Yes, but they're only fears, Shadow. Only suspicions.
You fear that these violent deaths are not caused by a legend? You suspect your father's inherited your family's insanity, that it's he who's killing during fits of violent rage?
Yes. This is terrible. I know, but it's true. I saw him a few moments after Bridget's death. His coat was covered with snow. His eyes were wild. Shadow, you've got to keep him from committing any more insane murders. You've got to.
The Shadow will see that the guilty pay for their crimes.
Brad, Sheila.
Oh, Brad, you frightened me. I thought for a moment that... What's the matter, Brad? You look as if you've seen a ghost.
I've seen Father.
Oh.
He's been riding, Sheila. Still had the riding crop in his hand.
Riding?
Yes, he said he'd been in the stable for the last couple of hours, but you could see his footprints clearly in the snow.
Oh, Brad.
He looked so wild, Sheila. I got excited and said that he was sick in the mind, and then he started toward me. I broke away from him, came up here.
We'll have to tell Mr. Cranston right away, Brad. We've got to get Father put away before he starts for one of us.
Well, you suspected it all along, haven't you, Sheila?
Yes. Ever since he said he started feeling badly, it must have been coming over him then.
Yeah. My poor daddy's like a man in a dream. I really think he knows what he's doing.
Of course not.
When I accused him of Henry's murder, he was almost pathetic. He kept saying that... But I didn't strangle him. I didn't...
What's the matter, Brad?
Strange.
What's strange?
Father said I didn't strangle Henry.
Yes?
Henry wasn't strangled. I saw him. His back was broken. He couldn't have screamed that way if he'd been strangled.
No, that's right. He couldn't have.
Why did Father say that, then?
Don't you know, Brad?
No.
Very simple. Father didn't murder Henry.
He didn't?
No. Because he's not the mad one in this family. I am... I'm sure Mr. Crown should have been out there in the stable, Lamont. We saw his riding crop and what looked like his footprint.
Yes, Margaret, I'm equally sure he's back here in the castle now.
Sheila was positive that it was her father who was responsible for the murder.
Well, she told the Shadow.
That's his room right there, isn't it?
Yes. Easy now, darling. We don't know what we'll find.
Door's still swinging on those broken hinges.
Now get behind me, Margot. Don't imagine he's in there, but we can't afford to take a chance.
Empty.
Yes, doesn't look as if he's been back since he ripped... Good Lord, Brad!
The mask! The mask!
Yes. Broken by that same enormous violent strength. You can still see the finger marks. That's funny.
What, Lamont?
I wonder. Margot, you've got to get to someplace safe, fast. Shadow has a job to do. Cellar, that's it?
Sir?
Yes, there's a heavy metal door, no windows. You'll be safe there.
Lamont...
No time to lose now, Margot. Come on.
down here all right. One heavy door, stone walls. Kind of frightening, though. Just this one candle on an old wine cask. Who's that? What? I wonder if that's Lamont back so soon.
Let me in. Please let me in.
What? Sounds like Sheila. She must be in trouble, maybe.
Just a minute, Sheila. I'm coming.
Miss Lane, thank you for opening the door.
I came down here to be safe. I guess that's the same reason you're here.
Yes, it is. It isn't very cheery down here with only this one candle.
Just so long as no one can get it. That's the main thing.
Yes, of course. This must have been a terrible ordeal for you, Sheila.
Yes, it's been pretty much of a shame.
This Bridget and then Henry and then... Oh, you do know about your brother, of course.
Yes, I know.
Father, is he really, really is. And then you would help me put him away.
I see. That's why I've been taking care of Father so carefully lately. Giving him his medicine regularly.
Sheila, please, you're getting yourself upset.
Upset? You'd be surprised at how upset I can really get, Miss Lane.
Sheila.
I can get so upset sometimes that I think I have to get rid of everyone who discovers my secret.
Sheila, stay away from me.
And I will, too, if I have to. I'll kill all of you. And they'll say my father did it. They'll scream murder at him when he stands behind the bars of the asylum.
Sheila, please.
But I'll be safe. Nobody will know about me because none of you will talk.
Get away.
It's no use trying to get behind that wine cask, Miss Lane. I'm strong. Very strong.
Now, Miss Lane.
No.
Oh, yes. Who's holding my wrist?
Let go of that girl's throat. That's better, Sheila.
Sheila, you're back.
Yes, Sheila. Back to accuse you of being the terrible legend of Crownshield Castle.
No, it's my father. He's the one.
Now it's you who inherited the powerful madness. When you found the insanity coming over you, you tried to shift the blame to your father. Physically, but not mentally, the exact image of old Joseph Crownshield.
No, that's a lie.
It's the truth, Sheila. The shadow has seen your father. I know you gave him drugs disguised as medicine, kept him locked in the stable when you wanted him out of the way.
All right, Shadow, I did kill them all. But you'll never hold me for those murders. I'm going out this door. It's locked.
The shadow has the key.
I'll tear it off its hinges.
Not that door, Sheila.
Then I'll beat the walls. Then I'll beat them with my bare feet. Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
No, Sheila. You're not going out. Ever again. Now on, you'll stay inside the rest of your life.
And when you found Mr. Crownshield locked in the stable, you knew the whole story.
That's right, Margot. Apparently, Sheila first killed Bridget in an insane fit of rage. Later, Henry stumbled down the truth. He had to go, too.
But Sheila wasn't there when we broke into the room, Lamont.
She slipped out through a secret door in the tower room just as we came in. We were so concerned with Henry and it was dark, we didn't even notice.
When did you first guess the truth, Lamont?
When I saw the marks on Brad's throat. Old man Crownshield has huge hands. These marks were made by a very powerful, but very small hand.
I see. Well, I'm glad it's over. I hope the next mysterious phone call you get will be from a subway station. I never want to see a castle again.
A subway restaurant.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
Doesn't pay, but the hours are good. And the perks.
And they have a good dental plan.
And they have a good...
Oh! Mm.
Except in England. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story. It's a garless star. I don't know. More Gar, less Philly.
The walls of a broken mind are built with bricks of wit and whimsy.
There you go.
Scooby-Doo! Yippee-ki-yay!
Yep.
Yep.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Okay. I know you guys were somewhat monster guys, kids growing up, maybe a little bit. What did you guys think about the concept of having secret walls and secret panels in a house? Did you think that was really cool?
I always thought that was cool, yeah.
That is the coolest thing ever.
I wish I could have a house that had secret panels in it. That is, it's kind of creepy, kind of weird, kind of, but on the same time, it's just really cool.
All the more reason. All the more reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's creepy and cool, I'm in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Deal me in.
In these days and times, there would be people offended by it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what?
By a secret panel? A secret sliding wall? Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nothing wrong
with
that.
We'll have none of that here. Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
We will.
That's right. Damn right.
I don't even know what to call what's going on today, but everyone's
madness.
Offended at anything.
Yep.
You can't say feathers without someone going, oh, I don't like feathers. It's like, okay, then don't get near a feather. I don't know.
Wait, you never told me you were one of those that doesn't like feathers. Oh, I see.
I don't have a problem with feathers.
Okay.
I would dare say this. Our generation's plural probably don't have a lot of problems with a lot of things.
No. We had thick skin. We were thick-skinned.
Well, a whole different kind of growing up and everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Never thought I would be that curmudgeon old guy talking stuff like that, but yes, it is.
Well, I tend to agree with your curmudgeonly self.
Yeah,
most of the time.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
Get off my lawn, kid.
Stay off my lawn.
That's what big dogs are for.
And no balloons in my neighborhood.
That's what big dogs are for. That keeps people out of your yard.
Typically. And then people get upset about big dogs.
If they only knew how goofy Paladin is. This is nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, I know. Right.
He's a people lover.
I had an 80-pound dog years ago, and people were intimidated because he was 80 pounds. Biggest, sweetest goofball ever.
Yep.
I think you're more intimidated by the bag of dog food you had to give him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put away quite a bit. They're more intimidated by my dog food bill.
Yeah, really. Well. Teach him to hunt. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, really.
Not good. We got more.
Not good.
More Catholic
whole lot of radio.
Stories. More Catholic stories. And a whole lot of radio.
One of the biggest things about a castle is all the secret passageways. Sorry,
yes.
I got back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. I mean,
ask the Bowery Boys. They know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They know.
Exactly.
And Scooby-Doo going in back and forth between all the walls. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The sliding panel and the chair going backwards.
You're not a castle without that stuff. I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah. Now, were you guys big Bowery Boys followers? Because they had a whole slew of media for them, a whole bunch of different movies and such.
Yes.
I got a kick out of them, yeah. Yeah,
I, one of the hosts, I probably Superhost, played a good
I
number of them.
Superhost, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Superhost, yeah.
I think it was. And those were most of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were
the actual Bowery Boys ones, which were actually more comical than the East Side Kids and Dead End Kids, you know?
Yeah.
And wasn't there one called the Lemonhead Kids or something like that?
No, that was Bob Hope. Yeah.
The Cabbage Patch Kids.
Nope. No, I thought that was a Lemonhead Kid. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Lemonheads are those little candies.
That's what I, yeah. So maybe I'm confused.
Very sour. Very sour.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yes, that was what I got, because there are several Bela Lugosi vehicles that have these the Deadhead Kids or whatever they're called.
Yes.
The
Deadhead Kids.
But Bowery
the
Boy people.
Kids. Or Bowery Boy.
Dead End. Oh, okay.
East End. West End Girls. I don't know. West End Girls. Got a whole lot of radio.
But yeah, and there, it was comedy.
A whole lot of radio.
Radio.
Let's go down the hall to the Hall of Fantasy. With a little tale called
there.
Castle of Lavoca. Is it Lavoca?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Rhymes with polka. Lavoca.
Have we any interesting facts about Castle of Lavoca, Dave? From the Hall of Fantasy?
It was on the Hall of Fantasy. How's that?
Okay. And we have... probably a broadcast date hanging around here somewhere.
August 22nd, 1952.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns in peace. Come with me and listen to the tale of the Castle of Lavoca.
One night, shortly after sunset, in the dead of winter, they say a carriage drove through here. A carriage drawn by four cold black horses. The carriage, too, was black, and the driver was clothed in a livery of black. He whipped the horses and drove them as if his life depended on it. No one saw who rode inside the carriage, but on its heels there ran a pack of snarling, howling wolves. He said that Drago, Baron of Lavoca, was going to make a pact with Satan himself.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present the Castle of Lavoca. And now for tonight's story, an original radio drama by Richard Thorne entitled The Castle of Lavoca.
On vacation in Europe. It was a warm summer's day. Doris and I had cycled out from town, intending to find some inn along the way at which we'd spend the night.
Oh, what time is it, Grant?
Let me see. It's about a quarter after four, Doris.
I think we better find some place to stay before it gets too late.
Well, according to the map, there should be a little town about a mile away from here.
Grant?
Yes, dear?
Look, over there.
Where?
Right over there.
Hey, why, it's an old feudal castle.
That's just what it is.
Hey, let's stop a minute.
Right.
Well, will you look at that?
Oh, I've never seen anything like it.
It looks like like history come to life. A walled fortress. Look at those three towers rising up from the walls.
Oh, the whole thing seems to have been built in the form of a triangle. There only seems to be three sides to it.
From what I can see from here, looks to be in pretty good condition.
I wonder how old it is.
Hey, Dor, I've got an idea. It's too late tonight, but why don't we find the inn and then tomorrow morning see if we can't go through that place?
That sounds pretty good. As a matter of fact, you know, I wouldn't mind spending a day or two around here. It's beautiful country.
Well, I say we do it. What about you?
Oh, you twisted my arm. Grant.
Yes, dear?
Maybe we shouldn't.
Shouldn't what?
Shouldn't go through that place.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just that suddenly I felt cold inside.
You're just remembering a lot of stories about old castles and ghosts. There's nothing to worry about, Dor. The man who probably built that castle and all his descendants are only memories now. And memories can't hurt you. When we had first sighted the castle, I was quite surprised, because there was no indication of its existence on the map I carried. And what Doris had felt, I had felt also. When I first looked upon it, I felt, as she had said, cold inside. What it was, I didn't know. But that feeling had passed, and the only feeling I had was one of enthusiasm for the adventure that was to come the following day. About a mile from the castle, we found the town indicated on the map, a little place called Lavoka. It was no more than a village with a population of a few hundred. The inn was on the other side of the town, and as we pedaled through, the townspeople looked at us curiously. It took us only a few minutes to reach the inn and to enter it. A tall, dark man sat at a table, and he looked up as we passed him. Then he turned away again, obviously lost in thought. We were in a large room full of tables. There was no such thing as a reception desk, save for the bar at one side of the room, which served a double purpose, a bar and a registration desk. A large man with pounds of extra flesh stood behind it. Are you the proprietor? Do you understand English?
I do.
I was afraid...
But I wouldn't. It happens that I do.
Well, we'd like a room for two or three days. I hope you have something.
All of my rooms are empty save one. It is occupied by the man you passed on your way in. I will be able to accommodate you. You are American?
Well, yes, that's right.
I was surprised to see you with the world so close to war.
Well, we won't be in this one.
Perhaps. I do not have many visitors these days. The hospitality of my inn is offered to you. If I may be of service to you while you are here, please let me know.
As a matter of fact, you can.
In what way?
Well, we passed an old castle on our way here. Do you think it would be possible for
you
us to...
You must mean Lavoka Castle.
Why, I don't know its name. It's laid out in the form of a...
A triangle.
Yes.
Yes, I know the castle. It has a particular significance to the people of this area.
Well, can you tell us anything about it?
Later. After you've had the evening meal, you shall hear of it. Come. I shall show you to your room.
As he led us upstairs to our room, we passed again the man who sat alone at the table. He was staring at us and made no attempt to hide the fact. As we went up the stairs to the second floor, I wondered why the innkeeper had seemed so afraid when I mentioned the castle. I had no time for further speculation, however, at least for the next hour. Our time was spent in cleaning up, and Doris kept talking of other things.
Well, I'm ready to go back downstairs, Grant. What about you?
Hey, look at the sunset, Doris.
Oh, it's a beautiful sight, Grant. Grant?
Yes?
Look where I'm pointing to. Isn't that Lavoka Castle?
Yes, it is. Stands out so in the sunset that it seems to be on fire.
Grant, did you watch the innkeeper's face when you asked him about the castle?
He seemed surprised.
I wouldn't call it that. I'd call it frightened.
Perhaps you're right.
And perhaps we should forget about seeing that castle tomorrow. Perhaps we should start back.
We'll see. You know, Dora, you make it seem so... It was so serious. We stood there by the window, looking out at the medieval structure that stood there at the base of the mountains. That afternoon, when we had first seen the castle, it had seemed to be a beautiful relic of a dead past. But as we watched it, bathed in the redness of the setting sun, it seemed to be a mass of molten rock. Little by little, the sun slipped down and the gray shades of dusk moved out towards the castle, advancing slowly, covering the walls with the dark shadows of night. And then it was gone from our sight, swallowed up in the darkness. I had a fantastic thought for a moment that Lavoka Castle was the dwelling place of death. Well, the meal was excellent, and we were both quite hungry. At length, well, it was over, and our host walked over to us.
Some brandy, perhaps?
Not for me.
And you?
Or perhaps later, not now.
If you do not mind, I shall join you.
Yes, of course.
You say you wish to know about Lavoca Castle. Would you object to another at this table? I mean another besides myself.
Oh, no, of course not.
Marek?
Yes?
Marek, come here.
What do you want?
They desire to know of Lavoca Castle.
There are strangers here?
Yes, you must have seen us come in this afternoon. You were sitting right over there at that table.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember.
Please, sit down, won't you?
Mm.
Thank you. Yes, I know of the castle, perhaps more than anyone.
Well, we'd like to learn some of its history.
I will tell you the story. Then we shall see whether you are still interested in Lavoca Castle. The castle was built centuries ago, sometime in the late 1600s. It was built by Drago, the first and only Baron of Lavoca, a man renowned for his cruelty and his prowess in the arts of war. War was his life, the only life he knew, and he lived for the feel of a strong blade in his hand. He lived for one purpose, to kill. It is said that the only thing Drago feared was death. He dealt with it almost every day of his life, yet he feared it. He feared the day that he would die. It is said that he made a pact with Satan himself so that he would not die. This is the legend. One night, shortly after sunset, in the dead of winter, they say a carriage drove through here. A carriage drawn by four coal black horses.
Get out there! Get out!
The carriage, too, was black, and the driver was clothed in a livery of black. He whipped the horses and drove them as if his life depended on it.
Get out there! Get out!
No one saw who rode inside the carriage, but on its heels there ran a pack of snarling, howling wolves. Those who saw what happened that night were frightened almost to death. The carriage drove straight to the gate of Lavoca Castle. And a huge drawbridge was lowered to admit an entrance. The carriage rumbled across it, but the pack of black wolves stayed outside. They stayed outside, and the sound of their howling voices drifted back to this town, and the people were afraid. People looked up towards the castle, and they said it was bathed in an eerie luminescence. The visitor to the castle was there for the better part of 3 hours. And then the drawbridge was lowered again, and the carriage rumbled out. It seemed to be going even faster. And the driver whipped and drove the horses.
Get out! Get out!
Till their mouths were white with foam and their eyes wide with fear. The carriage rushed through the center of the town, and the people were so afraid, they turned their eyes away, lest by looking upon it, they should die. Those who said they heard the sound of a crying baby coming from inside the carriage, but they thought they were mistaken. The following evening, the news was brought to them that the Baron's son had disappeared and was nowhere to be found. And as the man stood before them, telling the townspeople of what had happened, the shadows grew together in the night, and from the distance they heard...
Listening to the tale of the Castle of Lavoca on tonight's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. We'll return to our story in just a moment.
And you're back with us in the halls of hilarity at times. Yep.
Is that what we are?
We are in the halls of hilarity. Yeah. This is a creepy castle. They're very descriptive. What they're telling us of the
syndicated series here that actually I got to know again through our local public radio station where they had bought the rights to air several of these programs, and this was one of them. This, along with Great Gildersleeve and The Lineup, which we have not played The Lineup yet. Another, that's a, a starred Bill Johnston, who is, of course, your favorite, second favorite Shadow Dale.
Yes, he is.
But all over the place, including The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, all over the place. So,
well, thank goodness for that old-time radio. They're bringing those to you, Dave. Because without them,
again, there was another.
We wouldn't have them here.
Send me the fodder of my love for old-time radio.
Me fodder, me mutter, all of them.
And my sister and brother.
That's right. Every blasted one of them. Gary, you're quiet. No coffee?
No.
Yeah,
plenty of coffee.
Plenty of coffee.
I was trying to put it together in my head. When was it that I was first exposed to radio as a conceptual thing of, no, this is an entertainment, not for just music, but for these things. And I've always fallen back on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater as it was a vehicle in the 1970s, 80s, and what, into the 90s? Did it go that far, Dave?
Into the 81, I think, is when it finished up, yeah.
81, so yeah. 70-something, at least a decade of. And then I had the opportunity to run across older things, Gildersleeve and many others that were on there that were, and The Shadow that were popping, and it was like, oh, this is amazing. It opens a whole new universe of entertainment to run across these old shows and be entertained by them.
Yeah, so much different than watching TV. Or reading a book. It's actually a little bit of the best of both, I think.
Well, I can't remember who it was, but someone said a theater of the mind, and that can be very compelling.
I heard Dave
depending
say
on your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dave said it.
I think it was said by many people before me, yeah.
Ah, maybe that's
Or as Fred Allen said, radio is television without the eye strain.
There you go.
There you go. There
I
you
like
go.
It. Oh, I like it.
What was in the chat, I was talking more about the secret passages and stuff. And one of the biggest ones in these recent times is something called a safe room, where if your home or abode is under attack, it's kind of a room that's hidden away, and you get in there, and it's got a telephone and food and water and, you know, you can call the police and go, someone's in my house, and they're not going to get to you. There's a movie out there about it. Well, yeah, most criminals aren't carrying dynamite, thank goodness.
The sloppy ones, no. God, do I have to show these guys everything?
Yes, you do.
Your criminal ways are
and
coming
I need
out.
Visual aids.
Yeah, there you go. And we're in radio, so good luck with it. My boinger's in the other room. It's always in the other room. What's going on? There it is. I know it was in there somewhere. So secret rooms are still, they're still, still a way to go. I was just wondering, is the secret room and all the secret passageways, are they considered devious or are they considered cool? I always thought they were cool.
Well, they can be devious. It depends what you use them for.
Right.
If Bela Lugosi has one, it's devious.
Yeah.
If Boris Karloff has one, it's devious.
Have you ever seen the secret panels and weird things in architecture, a very castle-like home, the Winchester House? Have you ever read anything on the Winchester House?
Is that the one where the lady kept building and building and building to it?
Yes.
Now,
they made a horror movie about it, which isn't too bad, but, of course, it's not factual. It's a horror movie. But they thought she was a little wackadoodle because she would build, like, stairways that didn't go anywhere. You know what I mean? They'd lean up to a dead wall and just all kinds of cool stuff. But I like that. If you got the money and the time, hey, have at it.
Her epitaph on that was that she felt like she was being haunted. And so she did all these things to preoccupy the ghosts.
Really? Is that factual?
Yes. Yeah. The stairway to nowhere and all that, that's for ghosts. Yeah. There's doors that lead out to, like, you could fall to your death if you opened the door and kept walking. All of it was things to preoccupy ghosts that she felt were haunting her or her family. And after the husband died, she just kept building and building and building. that was a crazy thing about it.
Have at it, lady. Keep building.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I guess lumber and nails weren't that expensive back then. I don't know. She must have been a very wealthy person.
They were very wealthy. He was the inventor of the Winchester rifle, which sold a lot during the Old West and during the
funny thing,
Native American wars, all kinds of stuff.
I had a grandfather, and his middle name was Winchester. And one time I said, "Granddad, you weren't related to anybody that invented a gun, were you?" And he was like, "Nope, wrong Winchester."
Well, was his last name Winchester?
No, but his last name was likened to people that deal with metal.
I
think.
See, the only Winchester name I can think of was that weenie dude on MASH. He was a weenie.
He's not a weenie dude.
He was kind of a weenie.
No. Charles Emerson Winchester III.
You
can't be a weenie dude if you're a third.
He was a big guy.
Oh well, yeah, he liked
weenie.
Yeah, he liked food.
Weenie in character, yes.
Yeah, no, he was kind of a goof.
But it was
he thought he was more than he was. He thought he was more than he was.
Yes. Yeah, he did not belong in that company at all. But he was a surgeon, so I guess that, you know, you get what you get.
Yeah.
You could get a sturdy guy that was a surgeon.
Very hoity-toity.
He was, but even a hoity-toity. Well, back then, let me think. Korea?
Yeah.
They would have had the draft, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
yes.
Hoity-toity
he
or not.
He been drafted. Yep.
Yeah, hoity-toity or not.
Yep.
Had to show up. I bet that guy's family had secret panels.
Yeah,
I bet they did. Out of Boston, yes.
In Boston.
Boston, yeah.
The Boston Strangler, that guy.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
A lot of
Dave,
radio.
At some point in time. Hold on, radio. Dave, at some point in time, we need to come up with a trio of Strangler-related shows.
Okay, good idea.
Ooh. There you go.
There's a whole bunch. Castle of Lavoca, part two. Let us continue our path. Let us continue our path down the Hall of Fantasy.
And now back to tonight's story entitled The Castle of Lavoca.
We sat there around a large oak table and listened to a story so fantastic it defied description. There were four of us in that room, the innkeeper, Doris, and myself, and Mark, the storyteller. He continued with his story.
The shadows grew together in the night, and from the distance they heard the howling cry of a wolf. The face of the Baron's servant blanched with fear, and he turned and made his way back to the castle. He never reached it alive.
Well, of course, this is nothing but legend. Isn't that right?
It is legend, yes, but it is also truth.
But it can't.
What Marek says is true. I would stake my life on it.
Let him go on with the story.
I'd like a little brandy first.
I thought perhaps you might. For you?
Thank you, no.
Now then, go on with your story.
By your leave. As I said, they found the servant outside the castle gate, and there was a great uproar about his death. But the Baron issued an edict that it was never to be discussed. And, of course, the people obeyed him, for by now they lived in superstitious fear of the Baron. I must add that the night the carriage appeared, that night the Baron's son was carried away. The war began. Of course, the Baron went off to the war and distinguished himself in the field. The war was over in due time, and the Baron returned to Lavoca Castle. He lived a quiet life in the years that followed. But 21 years to the night his son disappeared, it happened again. Again, it was a cold winter's night. The snow crunched under your feet, and the air was brisk and biting. From the north, the wind began to blow. Then, from out of the night, the carriage appeared again. It was exactly the same as that which had happened 21 years before.
Get up! Get up there!
It was the same driver, the same carriage, and it even appeared to be the same horses. It flashed through the town and up the road leading to the castle, and in the back of it, the devil dogs ran, snarling and howling. Until the carriage rolled into the castle, they sat outside as they had a generation before. But it was not for long, for in a few minutes the carriage appeared again. There was no doubt about it this time, for very clearly the townspeople heard...
No, let me go! Let me go! In the name of... Ah!
And in another moment, the carriage was gone. The following day, the townspeople learned that the Baron's wife had disappeared. They knew who had come to claim her. That night, war broke out in Romania, and the Baron hastened to join the conflict.
If I understand you correctly, both times the carriage appeared, war broke out?
That is correct.
What happened then?
Just as he had done before, the Baron distinguished himself in the war and returned to Lavoca Castle. By this time, the Baron was almost 60. Peace reigned for a period of 40 years, and sometime during that time, the Baron disappeared.
He died?
I say he disappeared.
Well, when did he die?
There are no records of his ever dying. They say he lies at rest in one of the catacombs beneath the castle, waiting.
Waiting? Waiting for what?
Waiting for the war.
The war?
The black carriage has appeared each time war begins, no matter where it happens. And in each war, there has been a report of a man who calls himself Baron Lavoca, fighting in the battles.
That's fantastic.
Call it what you will, but when the last war began, the carriage appeared and drove straight up to the castle. I was but a boy then, and I saw it with my own eyes. The night before that, we heard the wolves. Each time the carriage appears, the wolves appear the night before to warn us of its coming, to let us know we should guard ourselves.
Now that you have heard the story, do you still wish to visit Lavoca Castle?
No.
Yes. I don't care what you say. I can't bring myself to believe your story. I think it's nothing but superstitious nonsense.
But, Grant...
I'm sorry, darling. But I want to visit that castle. If you want, you can remain here.
No, I'll go with you.
What about you, Mark? Will you show us the way? Enter the castle with us?
You say that in such a way that if I were to refuse, I would appear to be a coward. I shall go with you, American. Tomorrow afternoon will be all right with you?
Yes.
Let us have a drink to your trip.
That's a good idea.
Will you join us, madame?
Yes, I will.
All right, then. To your trip tomorrow to... Lavoca Castle.
To Lavoca Castle.
Lavoca Castle. We went upstairs to our room shortly after that. The story Mark had told had been quite long and the hour was late. We went to bed, yet neither of us could sleep.
Grant.
Yes, dear?
Don't you think we should go home soon?
Why?
Well, how long have we been over here?
Since the middle of May.
Well, this is August 30th. I've seen enough of Europe. I want to go home. I think 3.5 months is enough time to spend.
Well, all right, Dora. When we get back to Murat's, we'll make arrangements to go home.
Good. About tomorrow... What's that?
What?
I heard an animal outside.
Oh, that was just a dog, Dora. Go to sleep.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
It was the following afternoon. For some reason, we hadn't been able to get started until late in the afternoon. It was after 3 o'clock when we started out. We discarded our bicycles in favor of horses, which Mark had been able to procure for us. The trip up to Lavoca Castle was uneventful, and within an hour we stood at the edge of the drawbridge, looking into the courtyard.
Shall we go across?
Of course.
It doesn't show any signs of age.
It has been perfectly preserved. I'll take you on a tour of the inside. We can leave the horses here.
I'll give you a hand, Doris.
That's all right, Grant. I can manage.
All right.
Now, just follow me.
Marek led across the courtyard and into the gray building. The huge wooden doors were slightly ajar at the entrance, and with an effort, Marek pushed them open and led us inside. We were in a huge hall, which must have served as both a reception hall and a dining place. From there, he led us into the Baron's chambers, his wife's, which formed two sides of the massive triangle. Members of the retinue must have occupied the third side of the triangle. We visited each of the three towers which looked out across the countryside, giving a clear view of anything approaching. And then Marek led us down into the cells beneath the castle. Coming finally to another stairway, he turned to me.
This leads down into the catacombs.
Well, let's go down. Take a look at them.
Perhaps we...
Oh, nonsense, Dor. We both have flashlights. I see you brought a gun, Mark. Nothing could hurt us. Let's go.
All right.
Oh, it seems colder down here.
Yes, it does.
I shall show you where they say Drago is sleeping.
What time is it, Grant?
Well, it's 7:30.
Yes, we have been in the castle for several hours. We have been down here in the lower sections where there is no light for over an hour. I shall show you the Baron's resting place, and then we shall return to the inn. This is the chamber where he sleeps.
Oh, Grant, there is someone in here.
This isn't a joke, is it, Mark?
I have never been down here before. It is no joke, as you call it.
I want to have a look at him.
No, Grant, don't.
I can't believe it. This man seems to be sleeping, yet he's not breathing.
Let's get out of here, Grant.
All right.
I've been nervous ever since I heard that dog last night.
You say you heard the dog?
Yes.
There are no dogs in this area. No animal will come within miles of the town and castle. The animals fear it. That was no dog you heard last night.
You mean?
We have no time to lose. We must get out of here. Follow me.
Yes.
It was the warning you heard.
I knew we shouldn't have come.
Don't worry, Dor. We'll get out of this.
I wish I felt that sure.
The horses are out in the courtyard. It won't be long now.
The horses are on the other side.
They're gone.
What are we going to do?
Be quiet. Back over here in the shadows.
Yes.
Perhaps you will not see us.
Grant, the driver...
Be quiet.
What's that? What's that noise?
I don't know. The driver's pointing to the doorway.
Oh. Grant.
It's the Baron. Baron Lavoca.
He's walking towards the carriage.
Quiet. He's looking this way.
Oh. He's turning away.
He's getting into the carriage.
Get up! Get up there! Get up! Get up!
Before our eyes, the carriage wheeled around the courtyard and then thundered across the drawbridge and out into the night, followed by the snarling wolves. We found our horses later and went back to town. When we returned to the inn, the innkeeper was relieved to see us.
The carriage drove through here a while ago. I thought you'd all be dead.
Providence must have had an eye on us.
Well, it will happen tomorrow.
What will happen tomorrow?
The war. The war will begin.
The innkeeper was right. The night we saw the carriage in the courtyard of the Castle of Oka was August 31st. On September 1, 1939, the Germans marched into Poland and the Second World War began.
So runs tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
Sounds like my ex-wife walking down the hall.
Kettle drums are the most underrated musical instrument in the world, I think.
There are. They are.
They're hard to play in the car.
Yeah. They are.
It's really hard.
A little tough
car
in marching bands, too. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're driving. Yeah, well, that's one thing we learned. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Like a cart stuck in the mud, in life you will meet people. You can see the wheels turning, but they're not going anywhere.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
You are.
I are.
You and all your horse sense there.
Uh-huh. He's polka time.
Well, it's polka time.
He's a polka time.
Now, polka riot in the break out here.
There we go. We'll put that
right
in the background.
Never polka your date in the eye. Isn't that right? That's good date etiquette. Etiquette?
No.
Never polka. Well,
you
yeah, because you might get
polka. Never polka your date in the eye.
You take
yeah, you might get
polka. You poke her. I'm sorry. I did. I'm sorry, Ernie. I apologize to the rest of our listeners. I'm sorry, listeners. I'll never do it again for at least another week.
At least another week.
Isn't that what he said?
Promise.
Isn't that what the guy said? Go turn blue.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Stretch glass. Climb walls.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was the ghoul. The ghoul elaborated. Goulardi started it, but the ghoul kind of elaborated.
Goulardi? In the segments I've seen of Goulardi, Goulardi was kicking it. I mean, that guy had it down. He was a lot of fun.
He was oozing cool. He was just oozing cool.
He was.
And he knew it.
It was just, yeah. It worked out.
It did. Just one of those capturing lightning in the bottle moments for Cleveland, Ohio.
Right. Right. I'm never going to say I've got it because I don't know what it is. And if I did, I wouldn't know how to hang on to it.
You got something.
Well, yeah, I've been to a doctor trying to get rid of it, you know.
Well,
but
too late now.
You know.
The bug is getting you. It's too late.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a bug or not.
Yeah, it is. Well, a good one. I mean, you
know. Okay.
GGSI paper thinks maybe Ernie was oozing booze. I think he may have been. I'll tell you what, the guy had a great set of pipes, man. That guy had a voice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Henson's man, I loved it. I don't know if it was on, I think it was on David Letterman or something. He sat there and went through several different iterations of his voicing.
Yes.
You know, and of course one of them was "Welcome to the Love Boat." That whole thing he did, and it was like, oh man, the voice. Here's a guy from Ohio, right?
Right.
And he makes it all the way over to the West Coast and becomes the voice of ABC television. Crazy.
I mean, he got his big push in Cleveland, but he's not in Ohio, and he's from the East Coast.
Oh, he was. Oh, but he came over to Ohio.
Yes, he got his.
He bounced. Oh,
he got recognized first here wildly as Goulardi, but he did other things too. He had a place, a show called.
When he first came here, he was just before that, he was just basically the TV stock announcer and on actually a couple different channels, Channel 3 and Channel 8, and that under contract they had him for things, so he was. That's how he got to Ernie's place, and then how he ended up on Goulardi as well.
Yeah, they got shot.
But he was with Tim Conway.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
He hung around Tim Conway. Yep. Or Tim Conway hung around him. Who knows?
One of the two. Unfortunately, we can ask neither of them unless we have a Ouija board.
But we can ask the Hermit to give us another tale.
We can.
Yeah, this one's. I think I've heard
excuse me.
One.
I have to go. I have to go hide under my sheet now. So.
He has to go hide under his blanket.
Oh
yeah.
Are you afraid of the Hermit?
I'm afraid of the Hermit. Yeah.
All right. Well, it won't be that long.
He's got a beard longer than Gar's.
Yeah.
Beard longer than Gar's.
Don't tread on my beard.
This little ditty is entitled Castle by the Sea.
Yes, it is.
And it was originally broadcast.
It was originally broadcast September 32nd, 1941.
What?
32nd.
Quite frankly, I doubt the 1941 as well.
Weird stories and murders too. The Hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Have you heard the story? Castle by the Sea? Then listen while the Hermit tells you the story.
Shall we sit here on the beach and rest, Marie? Walked a long way from the hotel.
Yes, Les.
Oh, I'm tired out.
But I thought we were going to climb the mountain over there to the west and get a good look at the old castle.
Well, let's rest first.
All right.
When we started walking this morning, the old ruins looked quite near. I'll wager we've walked 3 miles since morning. Seems as far away as it did when we started out.
Yes.
Glory, but this is a beautiful spot, Marie.
Isn't it, though? Oh, Dave, it was grand of you to pick such a beautiful spot for us to vacation in.
I knew you'd like it. Look at the sea. It sparkles like an opal.
Yes.
Off in the distance, it looks as white as milk.
It's lovely. Oh, look way out in the water. I see two tiny little ships. See them?
Yes, I think I do.
It's so beautiful, dear. You'd almost think you might be dreaming. The ships are so far away. You might think they're unreal.
The idol is a painted ship upon a painted ocean.
That's from something I read as a child.
Yes, remember it?
Well, not right now.
Day after day, day after day we stuck. No breath, no motion. As idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean.
What's it from? The Ancient Mariner.
That's right.
And the tall, desolate castle over there in the distance gives me as many shivers as the ancient mariner did when I first read it.
Shiver over the castle, darling, because of the story the hotel proprietor told me about it.
Why did he act so mysterious?
Oh, I think the natives around here actually believe the old place is haunted.
Do they really? Okay, let's walk over and visit.
The other hotel said we wouldn't be able to get beyond the gate. There's an old servant woman who lives in it. She guards the place like a dragon.
An old woman lives all alone in that desolate place?
That's what he said.
Think of it. Where's the owner?
He is on the continent somewhere, I think. He's never returned to visit it.
Why not?
Guess no one knows. But the people at the hotel told me something very queer happened at the castle. All has to do with him. And that's why it's a haunted place now.
Oh.
Some calamity befell him there, and he left. Never to return.
Is he an old man?
Must be, from the story. It's almost become a legend. Must be a man in his 80s.
Hmm. Think of it. Let's walk over to it, Dave, and at least see it from a closer vantage point.
I'm willing.
All right. We have reached it in another half hour.
Queer, Marie. We sat down here to rest. The sky was clear as a diamond.
Now it's getting cloudy, isn't it?
Yes.
Look. First, the clouds are gathering, and they all seem to meet right at the top of the castle.
By George, they do. Maybe the old ruins are a rendezvous for the storms that scatter over the sea.
Yeah, you're only trying to frighten me and make it sound all the more mysterious, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We ought to turn back to the hotel.
When we've come this far? Oh, never.
They get caught in a nasty storm, you know.
Something weird about thunder in the heart of daytime, isn't there? I always associate it with black night.
You may have black night any time now.
Perhaps the old servant who would give us shelter in the castle.
Oh, that's what you're counting on, is it?
Ask me how far it is to the castle, Dave.
We know how far it is. We have to start climbing the hill in a minute.
Absolutely.
I've seen the queer lights coming from it at night. Bewitched, that's what it is.
Listen, you don't really believe that now, do you?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever been near it?
Once, a year ago, I went up to the Kneeland.
Oh,
that's right.
I guess we'll venture up the mountain anyway.
It's gonna storm, sir. I wouldn't go. Hear the thunder? When a storm comes up here on the sea, it's quite bad.
We'll take a chance, but thank you for your information.
The sea washes right up to the edge of the slope of this mountain. Real high, too. You won't be able to get away.
We won't stay long. Now, we won't get caught. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
You believe the story right enough. You ready to climb?
Yes, I'm more anxious now. Strange lights coming from it at night. Weird faces peering out. Who wouldn't want to go?
Inquisitive woman would.
Ah, here's a path to follow. Makes climbing easier.
If we're near the top of the hill, the thunder sounds closer. But we've spotted its hiding place.
Look. It's an enormous structure.
All castles are.
The windows are tumbling out, falling into ruin.
I should say it is.
How could a person live all alone in this place?
I wouldn't want the job.
It's getting very dark.
Here comes the rain. We will have to ask for shelter.
The gates are locked. Come, we can at least sit on the veranda till the storm breaks.
All right, run. Run, it's coming down in a fury now.
I hope the lightning doesn't decide to strike this old place. Soaking wet.
I'll see what your inquisitive nature has led us into.
You want to come here sad and sadly as I did, and you know it.
Now we are here. It's nothing but a roof and a first-rate thunder shower for entertainment.
Strange, the old servant doesn't come to scare us away.
You look so much like a mermaid with your hair streaming down. Maybe you frightened her away.
Dave, I thought I heard someone moaning.
Have your ears tuned for ghosts, honey. Hear anything right now?
No, I'm certain I heard someone this time.
Oh, it's thunder you hear.
I can hear the thunder all right. There's another peculiar sound. Like a person moaning in distress.
I do hear it now. I wonder what it can be.
Do you hear it? Well, doesn't it sound like someone crying out in pain?
Yes it does.
Steve, it's Steve.
What?
Over there in the yard, under the tree.
By George. Must be the old servant woman.
And she's ill. Go get her. Bring her here on the porch, out of the store.
Sure. Why, say, hello? May I carry you over to the porch, out of the storm? Here, let me lift you up. Carry you over to the house.
Oh.
When
I hurting you? Does it hurt to carry you?
I'm so sick. Did she hurt, Dave?
She will. See if you can open the door so I can carry her inside.
It's locked.
Well, see if you can find a bunch of keys on her dress.
No. No, you can't go in.
She doesn't want us inside, Dave.
She's ill. We have to take her inside.
Here's some keys.
Try them.
Oh, this one doesn't work.
Another one.
I believe this one's
going to fit. Swing the door open wide so I can get through with her.
You mustn't come in. No.
All right, lady, we have to help you. We can't leave you outdoors.
Where are you going to take her? Look at this hall. It's all cobwebs.
I'm so sick.
I'll find some water or something. You hot tea. When your clothes are wet, clear through.
Can I help her undress?
No.
Come out of the room with me. We'll see what we can fix for her.
All right. We'll be back in a few moments and give you something hot to drink.
Yes, I'm so sick. I'm going to die.
Go away and close the door.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we are in for something.
Yes, I guess we are.
It's getting nice. The storm hasn't stopped. The old servant is ill, and you and me. Well, it looks as if we had a job on our hands and a night to spend in a desolate castle.
She seems to be sleeping now, so I guess we can get some rest.
Think you'll be able to sleep in this bed?
I could sleep anywhere. I'm weary.
Your woman's room.
Yes, it's filled with things that were once fine and lovely.
Now, I guess I was... The box down in the booth.
They wasn't it?
Yes. The owner must keep her supplied with enough to live on. Mm. That includes candles, I must say. I wouldn't want to spend a night in this place without light.
No, I... Poor old lady. Do you think she is going to die?
I think she had a stroke.
We should go for a doctor in the morning.
We will if she isn't better.
She looks as if she'd lived for centuries, doesn't she?
She's like a witch out of a fairy story.
She has a beautiful old gold pendant around her neck, and she acts as if she were afraid we were going to take it. What was that?
The door. The wind blew it open and shut again. Locks are all worn out.
Give me the shudder.
You're going to listen to all the creaks and noises in this house all night. You'll have delirium tremens, not shudders.
Well, let's try and get some sleep. I wish it were morning.
Ray, I told you you'd hear strange sounds all night.
That sound came from right near this bed. Open the door. It did, Dave. Listen to it.
I hear it.
Well, what is it?
I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I don't know.
There it is again.
My golly, that is a queer sound.
David. Standing there in the doorway.
Look. What is it?
A woman.
Is it the servant?
I don't know. Speak to her.
What do you want? Are you all right?
She doesn't speak. It's a young woman.
Who are you?
She's moving right over by this bed. David.
Who are you? What do you want?
She's coming closer.
She's moving over where the knocking sound comes from.
She isn't alive. She's jumping in here.
She stands over by that wall. Trying to take the bricks away.
Take me away! Take me away from here! Take me away!
Now, I think a couple different guys did the voice of the hermit. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, yeah. Even at one point, John Daner was the voice of the hermit. Actually, a fairly young John Daner. And this is where William Conrad got his feet wet in radio, but it really it was more of a producer role than it was as an actor. I don't know that he even appeared in any of these, but he was a producer for many episodes of The Hermit's Cave.
I'll be darned. Who knew? Who knew?
I didn't.
This is not the gentleman I'm interested to. The other one had a little bit of a higher cackle.
Dave and Dale, back in December, maybe? I can't remember. I sent you guys a book called Terror on the Air, and it's got a whole chapter about the Hermit's Cave.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't get to that chapter yet, so I'm gonna go back into my book, get more info. More info. I must have more info.
Well, page 106.
What little tidbits can you throw? What tidbits can you throw at us from there? You have it?
Only that it starts on 106. I haven't read it either.
There you go. But there's a chapter in it, and we'll read it.
Yeah, we know. What is this one? Exploring horror form and genre. The genre.
My copy is upstairs. My best books are upstairs.
Your best books?
My best.
This would be considered a best book?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the best books I have.
Mine is sitting next to
it. And a book GGSI Paper sent me about the old time serials, The Silence. What else is in there? Some books bought me. A Ray Harryhausen book. Ooh.
Did you guys know that Dale and Dave are both, I believe, mentioned in a book called Vampira and Her Daughters?
Yes.
I don't think I am. Really?
Yes. Let's see.
Oh.
I have to find it.
It's from Misty, I think, mentioned us. Misty
it
Drew.
Is. Page 92 or 93 of the book. It mentions how nice we were.
Yes. When I was in the other venture doing Streamy TV, we were instrumental in bringing Misty back into the scene there. I ran into what's his name? I haven't talked to him in so long. He set everything up. He's in a band. Come on.
Timex Sheabag. Sheball.
Yes, Timex.
Yeah.
How did I forget Timex? Timex Sheabag.
Mm-hmm. Takes a licking and keeps on singing in a band.
Met him, and
he
kind of hooked everything up between us and the castle, because I ran into him online, and we started talking about horror hosts and whatnot, and his love for Misty, and that was that.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is. We're happy to welcome Misty's return. God of the Ghoul and Horror Daves were the first to acknowledge Awakening. Horror Daves?
Could be.
Maybe a
misnomer.
Creepy Castle is mentioned. Dale Kay and his person there back in the day.
Jack, is mentioned in it. Yep.
I never say his name. I leave
that
up to you.
Oh, that's all right. It's not like a curse word.
Creepy Castle. So Creepy Castle's mentioned a few times, and I was amazed that was in there. But my book on radio is next to that. Stan Freberg, It Only Hurts When I Laugh, and the radio book.
Good stuff.
Terror on the Air.
All good stuff.
It's always I have always found that it's fun to share if you can do it.
I can't wait. I think I'm about 2 years, maybe 2 years and 2 months away from retiring. I think. I hope, if everything goes well. And I am going to read. I miss it so much. I like reading fiction, and I like reading cool stuff like these radio and movie and television books. And I got bunches of them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind rereading some of my old stuff that I haven't read for many years.
So, in these small ways, we have achieved immortality.
You know, it's very, very nice. That was sweet of her to mention us like that.
I got to tell you something. Immortality doesn't pay what I thought it would.
No, it doesn't. No. And the residuals really stink. The residuals
I know.
Really stink. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I'm immortal, but I'm not getting anything out of it.
I find it rewarding in other ways. When cool people like Fogsbane make radios and cool stuff for us, and people like GDSI Paper, and the contributions we get from good old Bob, and people like CW join up with us, I feel like I feel very wealthy.
There you go.
I do.
Can I borrow $5?
No. I told you, cheap. Cheap ass.
Hey, we got a whole lot of radio, don't we?
We
still got a whole lot of radio?
Unfortunately, the shows are a little shorter this week, and we do have time to wrap up the Hermit's Cave. Barely. Woo-hoo. Good save, Dave.
It sounds like Shadow.
Violent death has struck twice in the gloomy shadows of...
Yeah, that's the Shadow.
Twice. It did strike twice. That's the Hermit's Cave. Damn it. Yeah, real funny, Hermit.
And suddenly, the strange woman stops working at the wall. David Marie stands transfixed. He thinks he hears the woman moan. Then, as silently and mysteriously she came, she glides away.
I'm afraid.
Come. Our imaginations are running wild. I can't leave this old woman. Come to her room with me.
Stay close beside me.
I won't leave you. Here's the door.
Oh, I'm going to die. Are you so very ill? Should we get a doctor for you? I'm going to die.
What can we do for you?
Did you see Noreen?
Who's Noreen?
The spirit of my mistress. She walks the house day and night. And now when I'm gone, she won't have anyone to keep her company. She'll be all alone. All alone.
We thought we saw someone come into our room.
You did. Noreen, the spirit of my beautiful mistress, trying to save her lover.
What is the strange story of this house?
When I die, will you stay in? Keep her company if I... But tell you her story, will you?
Yes, we will help you.
I've guarded a secret all these years. Watched over her spirit. Will you care for her if I tell you the story?
We'll watch over her.
The owner of this house killed her body, but not her spirit. It lingers on, hunting for her lover, trying to save him. Her husband was a horrible man, a brute. The family arranged a marriage. Noreen loved life and beauty. 2 years before, she'd fallen in love with a young Spanish gentleman. He came right while her husband was away. But the master returned unexpectedly. I had but a second to warn her before he... walked into a room.
I am too early, you mean?
Have you had bad news? You look like a thunderbolt.
It's Miss Chalmers.
You may go to me.
Yes, madam.
My dear Noreen, if I'm not mistaken, there is someone hiding in your closet.
You are mistaken.
Tonight, while playing billiards, I learned that your charming Spanish lover...
You were misinformed.
I know there's someone hiding in that closet, and I shall look...
Stop! Take my word for it.
You swear there is no one in there?
Yes.
Will you swear by this charm of my ancestors, carry the crest of my family, at your lips? Swear to me that there's no one in that closet.
I swear.
All right. As Now, call your servant into your room.
She's right outside. I'll ring for her.
Yes, madam.
What did you wish of Dominique?
It matters not the hour, Dominique. I wish you to call this stonemason to this room at once.
Yes, sir.
And I shall sit and wait in this room until he comes.
And there he sat, never taking his eyes off my dear mistress for 3 hours, waiting for the stonemason. And a lover stood waiting for his fate in the closed closet. So when the stonemason came, I took him into the room. The stonemason is here, sir.
That is good. Sir, go on, fetch bricks. Bring sufficient to wall up the door of this closet, and then plaster the wall. I want it done tonight while I sit here. Tonight, you hear? Yes, may disturb your sweet sleep, my dear Maureen.
No, I shall sleep.
Then do the job tonight. Now.
It was awful. There he stayed. My poor mistress fainted during the night into a living tomb.
Great heaven.
It was an awful thing to hear. It rings in my ears tonight. I can hear the master laughing as the scratching inside the wall began.
There was no one in the closet, was there, my sweet wife? My sweet Noreen.
Oh, have mercy upon me.
Mercy, mercy. There is no mercy to be had for the wicked.
But I loved him. We were going to run away together. I would have left you forever.
Yes, but it is now too late, my sweet. You can't get away, and surely your lover can escape. Smothering. Choking, dying. Caught inside my lady's wall. You. Well, I am the one who lives forever. Never return. You can do what you like. But if you ever tell of this, I'll publish your sin abroad to everyone in the country round.
This can't be true.
Yes, it is true. My mistress died shortly after. I told no one, but her spirit returns, trying to find her lover each night, trying to get him out of the closet. And I stay with her and carry the candle in my hand to guide her. This is a chance. With her vow upon it, him into death. But she's paid for a sin, hasn't she?
And her husband?
He's never come back. He sends me things from time to time, but he knows I won't talk, for I loved my mistress. And now I shall die, and she'll be all alone.
Daylight will come soon. Then we'll get help for
you. I'm going to die. All these years, spirit of Noreen and her lover. They've been constantly in this house. Only I've been near to watch them. But now I shall die.
Poor Dominique. Poor soul. Living with this spirit.
They've kept intruders out all these years. Now they'll come and frighten my mistress away.
We'll stay until morning. Then we'll bring you help. Now close your eyes. Don't try to speak. Just rest and sleep.
Maybe one of us should have stayed with her instead of us both going to the hotel for help.
There's nothing to be done for her. She had another stroke early this morning.
From the clock first?
Yes. What a horrible night.
What an awful life she's lived. Can it all be true?
Oh, no. We did see that.
Yes, I'm sure we saw the spirit. I know it. And the sound that in the wall. We did hear that.
Yes.
Oh, look. Here comes the young boy we met yesterday walking along the beach.
Yes, it is he, isn't it?
Shall we tell him we were at the castle?
No, don't mention it. At the hotel, we'll explain it.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm walking again today?
Yes, just admiring your scenery along here.
I'm going towards the castle now. Look behind you and see what's happening to it.
What? Look.
Yes, it's all afire. I saw it when I was way down the beach and came running.
Merciful heavens. And we never looked back and noticed.
As if a bolt of lightning had struck it. The whole castle is ablaze.
I ran back to save the old servant, say, if that old lady is still in there.
We can never get there in time to save her. 30 minutes walk to the castle from where we stand now. We can never make it.
She's all alone in there. Oh, run, run, David.
No use. I'm going up to see what I can see. Guess no spirits will bother now. They've all been burned out. I'm glad
Murray,
it's gone. It would be
Murray, we aren't to blame. Don't tell them at the hotel where we were. We stayed in a shelter of cover overnight. We must stay. They would think we set the place on fire. And the story the old servant told us. Weird as the tale of the ancient mariner.
Radio has barely enough time for yet another Gar's Moral of the Story.
The biggest drawback to being a ghost's custodian. No days off. There you go.
Yes, it was all about dreams.
It was. But you can have a good dream by joining us tomorrow for CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Castle Kerfuffle.
And what time is that, Dale?
Oh, about 6:30 Eastern, I'd say. And right after that,
okay,
something else happens at 8 p.m.
At 8 on twitch.tv.com. I don't know where I am. I got to go.
Blah, blah.
I know where you are. I got you bookmarked.
Okay. For the longest time, I didn't even know. It was like Twitch dot something. I don't know. I'm getting closer.
That's right. And we got some.
Hey, it only took you 5 minutes to figure. 5 months to figure out WRBM Dave. Yeah.
I know. I was like, who is that? Why does that sound familiar?
I know that from somewhere.
Yes.
Any weirdness sightings, Dave, to be on the lookout for?
It wasn't last week, so it should be Monday on the Vortex, horrorhost.net, at 9 p.m.
Ooh. See that? All kinds of good video watching with your favorite host, Gar.
One last curious thing.
Quickly.
To pop it. What is the chat room aspect of Blog Talk Radio? It's not Blog Talk Radio. It's chat something. You guys know?
Chattingo, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Goodbye, folks. See you tomorrow.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
And thank you, listeners. Love ya. Oh, look at that timing,
ouch.
Dave. I mean,
slammed
it snapped out right after the door slam. That was an accident.
Yep.
Blog Talk usually isn't sharp.
And neither is the British chick, so, you know.
No. No, she's... No. She's not. And, Gar, have you had the opportunity yet to see the IT Crowd? Speaking of British comedy.
Oh, no. But I have looked. I've looked for it, and I haven't found it yet.
Oh, my God.
I found references to it.
You're
going to
die.
I...
You're going to die. It's funny.
Okay.
And being British, sometimes the language is a bit rough, but...
Right. Well, they don't have the censorship we have over here where you can't say piano in the same sentence as dialogue.
Well,
you know,
can say more now, though, than you could when we
were
young.
Right, now, yes.
But this was back in the 90s where American TV really couldn't say much in the way a coice would.
Unless you were on, like, HBO, yeah.
But not network TV.
But there was a series called Elizabeth R, and there was one called I Claudius or something like that, and they had all kinds of crazy words you wouldn't see. They were BBC programs, as well as Monty Python might say something, that's crazy.
They were more worried. The British were more worried about violence than they were about nudity and language.
Right.
For example, Starsky and Hutch was kind of banned because Starsky and Hutch was too violent. Starsky and Hutch. Really?
Well, yeah.
They were always reserved that way with violence. Think of the H certificate they used to have for horror films. They thought that Seventh Voyage of Sinbad was like too horrific for kids. It's like kids that
made that.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot of skeleton, man. There were skeletons in these movies and Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah.
They gave it certificate each.
And they were moving and fighting skeletons, yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't any blood because they were skeletons, but still.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at Mexican Fair in the 1950s and 60s, that was geared to children. That stuff was crazy. There's one called Little Red Riding Hood versus the Monsters. And I was like, whoa.
I like it.
Well, once you see the film, you'll go.
The concept is good. The concept is good.
Yeah, no, there were some. Okay, one of the things in that was just, and see, this wouldn't have flown. It flew in America. We were able to see it as a little kid. You could watch it. But probably in the UK, Europe, no. There was a scene where this guy was an ogre, and he had a sack over his shoulder, and they filled it with, like, square sponges or something. Then he lays it down, and he opens it up, and he's kidnapped all these children, and they come out of the bag. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
This is abductions.
As Americans can watch it, as Mexicans can watch it, but not over in the UK. They would have lost their mind.
Yeah.
And I think monsters, in a way, were for kids. Look at Japan with Godzilla and Gamera, because, he was the children's friend.
Oh, I love Gamera.
There you go.
I love Gamera.
How do you not love Gamera?
Yeah. And what's it? Wait,
plus,
is,
he had the decency to have one of his movies fall into the public domain, so...
Is Gamera the turtle that flies?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. They loved him. Yeah.
The little boy in the first movie, he had like a turtle fetish. He had a pet turtle, and it was driving his family crazy.
Yeah. There were.
So he said, "The hell with
there
you."
There was another one
turtle.
Yeah.
And they got one.
Yes, he did.
There was also Starman, if you remember that guy from Japan.
Starman,
and he was, and I think there was a Death Man. And all of these had kids in them, you know, little kids running around. Yay!
Yep.
And it was like...
And their little school uniforms, you know.
Yeah. That one movie I mentioned, The Little Red Riding Hood, it's either Tom Thumb versus the Monsters or Little Red Riding Hood versus the Monsters. Either way, they were both those characters were in them, and the monsters were absolutely horrific. It was like, my gosh, there was a fire-breathing dragon, real fire.
Kind of sounds like Bambi meets Godzilla. Yeah,
I would have preferred to see Goldilocks take on the monsters myself. Goldilocks would have kicked some butt, I think.
Nah, she slept through the whole thing. It wouldn't yet.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Good point. Yeah, you got that right. All right.
You're monsters, I'm going to take a nap.
I'm down with Goldilocks. Yeah, she just steals the food and then gets carb coma, goes to sleep.
Although there is a wolf character in that film. I don't think that him and Red Riding Hood ever met, but there's a wolf in there, and it's very comedic. It's very, but it's Three Stooges humor, like they're hitting each other over the head with a ball on a chain, and it's crazy.
Even the old time horror tales from like Grimm's, those were for kids. Of course, they were trying to scare the crap
I think the original ones were for adults. They weren't for kids.
Oh,
no, they were.
They
scare the
they
hell
really
out of the kids
them.
So they behave.
They whitewashed them, for other things. But they were maybe to scare the hell out of the kids. Like
what?
that Christmas guy that goes around stuffing bad kids into bags and taking them out in the woods.
Oh yeah, no, there's one called The Juniper Tree. It's a Grimm tale, and it's a wicked stepmother ends up in the charge of two children from a different marriage, and she doesn't like the boy, the little boy. And so the little boy's sitting, he's like, you've been bad. Go sit outside in the chair outside of the door. And he goes, this time she walks out of the house, and she blocks his ears, which I think you cup his ears and you smack him together. And his head came off.
Oh, cool.
His head came off. She killed him. And didn't know what to do, so she chopped him up in little pieces and then put him in the stew for dinner, and the family ate the little kid. And then she took the soup and what was left over and poured it into the ground, and out came a juniper tree that eventually told the story of what she had done.
Oh.
Or it fell on her, one of the two. I can't remember. But
so her,
if there's any
so
justice,
its bark was
fell on
its
her.
Bark was worse than its bite then, huh?
I don't have my boingo.
I love it.
Okay, there you go.
I'll see you and I'll raise you one.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. There you go. Yeah, so these were very, they were supposed to be putting good common sense into young folks, like don't disobey your elders or they'll kill you and turn you into soup or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it worked out, but, they had a moral to their story, too.
Beware of strangers, like the witch in the Hansel and Gretel.
Right. Unless
the original Red Riding
Hood
story is very morbid. The wolf eats her, and then the woodsman cuts him up and gets her out.
Yeah, yeah. They gut him and they tear the people out of his stomach and they're alive and it's like, woo.
Yeah. That had to be gross.
You would think.
Yeah, you'd think it was a Florida python or something,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida python.
Oh, God. Florida python, yeah.
Yeah. I stay away from those things. But
And watch for the iguanas falling out of the trees.
And the iguana. Yeah, we're getting a cold snap. It was in the 50s here today. It was like, what?
And now we have killer balloons. Like,
I don't know what that's about, but okay. I've been reluctant to look at it, but let's see. Google News. Let's see if it. The first thing that should be in the headline
is. It's going probably.
Oh my gosh.
It's probably not even going as fast as OJ in his getaway car.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
35 miles an hour. Yeah. That was 35 miles an hour.
We've got gang wars. We've got people killing each other, all this. But what's the first top story? Pentagon tracking suspected Chinese spy balloon over the U.S. That's the first thing in the Google News feed.
Frickin' balloon.
Second coming in is deep freeze U.S. and North. He's chilling for record-breaking wind chills that could kill people. But first off is a balloon.
Yeah.
balloons are important, man. Balloons are important.
And balloons bumped the war in wherever that is going on. I forget where. Estonia or something.
Do you know what makes the balloons go up?
Hot air?
Yeah, what's keeping you down? Sorry. What's that from?
Oh, hello.
What's that from? What's that from?
Ice cream. Extra thick ice cream. It's keeping me down.
No. From, like, not the Stooges. It's from somewhere. What makes
it sounds like it's from the Stooges.
It could have been the Marx Brothers. I'm not sure.
It could. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go with that.
I'm not certain.
I can't find it.
I missed something there. What is it that was from the Marx Brothers? Maybe.
That joke. What makes a balloon go up?
Okay.
Hot air. What's holding you down?
I don't know. It does sound more like a Three Stooges line, but maybe it wasn't. It does sound like one.
Maybe the way I told it, too. I could have heard it much differently than I just told it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I am not an expert joke teller, you know.
Right. So if it's a balloon and you guys, one of you guys is alluding to it might be poison or something like that, whatever gases are in it are keeping it up. So if you exploded it, they would just keep going up. They're not going to come down. It's not like
a gas. That was my understanding of why they didn't just shoot it down, was because they were afraid it would be worse coming down than it would be up there. But, you know, in the meantime, the Chinese are saying, I bet you Chinese say, hey, you know, I bet we could fly a balloon over there and then it would even shoot it down.
Could be. It could be a litmus test.
Stupid Americans.
We could fly a balloon.
Shoot a balloon. It's a balloon, you know. We'll put some spy equipment on there, but it's just a Google map, you know.
I told you we should have read Goodyear on the side.
Yeah.
Stupid round eye fall for it every time. Oh, God.
Wow, must
I'm
be a new Goodyear blimp.
Oh, good heavens, I'm in trouble now.
We're sorry, CW. We're sorry, CW.
We'll try to behave.
No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not, but we will try to behave. But we're not sorry.
I'm not weighing in on this one.
I'm a little sorry.
You guys dig your own hole. I'm not touching it.
Dale, get the shovel. We'll dig our way out.
There you go. I'm used to having to need to have a shovel around, let me tell you. I've been shoveling it all my life.
Oh! That guy, I was trying to remember, and I couldn't. John Fiedler, the voice of Piglet. Today was his.
Who you were talking about. Oh, I love the voice of Piglet. He was great.
Yeah.
Jimmy Durante's birthday is on the 10th of this month.
He's still dead.
He's still dead.
Yeah.
Well, so is John Fiedler. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he was in a lot of things. He was in the Twilight Zone Night of the Meek with Art Carney.
Oh, yeah. He was the store manager.
He was like the store manager or floor director or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Floor Walker.
He was also
in Cheers? Oh, wow.
What the hell was the name of
Cheers?
It?
He was in everything. Oh, my God. He was in The Odd Couple as a regular?
He was in True Grit.
Yes, he was.
He was in True Grit.
He was one of the Grits. Yes, he was Lawyer Grit. Daggett. Lawyer Daggett in True Grit.
Okay.
Brief role. He doesn't seem like the lawyerly type, but okay. Yeah, he was the girl's family attorney handling her dead father's affairs, and they were paying...
Okay.
Well, maybe... No, not True Grit. Maybe it was Rooster Cogburn I'm thinking of.
He was the rooster.
I think it was Rooster Cogburn.
He was the rooster. No, he was the rooster tail.
What's the one with the girl? Uh-huh. What's her name? Kim Darby? Or... I don't know.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Yes, he was. I'm having a Western brain hemorrhage.
Yeah. He was a regular on the Odd Couple. He was one of the poker players.
Yeah, he was, yeah. He was in my favorite
Murray
Martian.
The Cop and, with yep. Murray the Cop, yeah. My favorite Martian, yeah. I can't remember him ever being a regular on a series. Was he a regular ever?
I think he was a regular on the Odd Couple. He was in there.
He was a semi-regular there, yeah. For the poker game, yeah. He was always one of those.
He was everywhere.
He was on the Donna Reed show, but I don't know if that... No, that was a one-off. That girl was a one-off.
Yeah, he was stand-in for Donna Reed that one episode, I think.
Yeah. Man, him and a push-up bra, and you had it made. Let's see.
So that and the necklace. You need a pearl necklace, yeah.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
He was in Bewitched, six different episodes. Man, he was a lot of one-offs in this. He was in Gunsmoke twice. Man, hey, come on, where are you? There's a whole bunch of you. Okay, 17 episodes. He was in the Bob Newhart Show in 1972, possibly as a patient.
Right, he was one of the patients. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. He was only in 17 episodes?
17, yeah. Buffalo Bill from 1983 is in 26 of those. And of course Winnie the Pooh, 50 episodes of that as the piglet voice. And that was he rounded out his career pretty much as the piglet thing, and then that was about it.
It wasn't piglet, it was piglet.
Piglet had a star.
Yeah. He was in so much. Quincy, BJ and the Bear, The Ropers, Fantasy Island, Rockford Files, just everywhere. All over the place. Guy had a long and strong career. Passed away 2005, but when did he pass away? He passed away in 2005 and is working in 2005. So there you go. True Grit. He was in True Grit there, Dave.
It was
That was the one. Okay. That was the one, Dale. True Grit.
Lawyer Daggett.
I should have remembered that. Yeah. Lawyer Daggett.
Well, if I wasn't on the webpage scrolling around, I wouldn't have known.
Who was the girl? Was that Kim Darby?
I don't know about the girl. Is there a girl in True Grit you're talking about?
Yeah. Lawyer Daggett represented
a girl
the girl.
True Grit. Oh, okay. Kim Darby portrayed Maddie Ross
yes,
in it.
That was her. She was also, who the hell? I think she was the one in Don't Be Afraid of the Dark with the little coconut head monster things.
Better Off Dead, Teen Wolf 2. Oh, she was in all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
Murder, she wrote. She was in Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Really? She had to be older there.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
For her, I mean.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, she was in what you said, Better Off Dead. She was in that, and I don't remember that one. I'm sure I saw it, but I can't remember. She was born in 1947. She's done a whole bunch of stuff, too. It was last week.
75 this year, right?
Yeah, last week, Dave.
Yeah, 75.
Spun around different things, and we ended up with Gunsmoke. And I started to watch Gunsmoke, the James Arness television series. And man, it was kind of like something was scratching at the back of my head, going, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember?" Because I watched a whole bunch of different episodes of it, and I was like, "This." It was part of my childhood growing up. Every Sunday night or whenever it aired, it was part of what we watched.
I've been watching "Have Gun Will Travel." The Roku channel, the Western Roku channel, has been playing it with Paladin.
Yes,
as with Richard Boone.
Yep.
Yes, Richard Boone. And
you
I recall
what's
seeing
weird
that.
About that is, go ahead.
No, go ahead, I just recall seeing it in syndication, possibly on the weekends, maybe on a Sunday afternoon or something. I don't know, or Saturday
whenever,
afternoon.
Yeah. It was up to the station when they bought the syndication package to air it.
Yeah.
One of the unique things about that show, so many of these shows came from radio and went to television. This was one where it was on television before it came to radio. So, yeah, that was kind of cool about that.
How crazy.
Very few did that. That was one.
It's a good show. I watched a good one. Christmas one.
Nice.
Very well written.
I think the writing was in general was better then. You know, I know Rod certainly wasn't always happy with a lot of television that was on, but I still think television writing was better then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get a few things now that are that well.
Right.
And some of them are hidden behind great CGI and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it gets so – today they just get so complicated in things. I get to a certain point on some shows where I just stop watching because it's just way too complicated.
Yes.
Or they lost the formula to make good comedy. You take the Dick Van Dyke Show or I Love Lucy. If you watch them for what they are, you can make it through. And they were funny. You might get a chuckle. Some of the comedies that are out and about today, they missed it. I don't know how they did it, but you know, the canned laughter is just that destroys it for me. But there's a possibility that was in both of those.
You don't like the canned laughter?
I do not. It forces you. It's telling you this is your cue. This was funny. Laugh at it. And I'm going like, can I make that determination for myself?
Because it's always easier to laugh somebody than to laugh by yourself. Because people get self-conscious when they laugh by themselves.
Could be.
Most comedies aren't brave
enough.
Yeah,
because you sound like a loon.
Yeah.
Laugh by yourself.
But if you're laughing with other people, you and again, when you do it without laugh track, you kind of are much more self-conscious of it. And I think it really changes the dimension of some show. I know I mentioned this before, but if you mentally block out the laugh track in Hogan's Heroes, that thing's a drama with a few comic lines.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Because you listen to the music, the dramatic music and the staging and the night scenes and the explosions. That's not a comedy.
Yeah.
The laugh track made
it a
comedy.
It's a dramatic comedy versus a situation comedy, I guess. Like if you compare Hogan's Heroes to Three's Company, that's two different things.
Three's Company.
Yeah,
like
you need a laugh track for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you need someone to hit you in it. Yeah, you need someone to hit you in the head with a baseball bat before you watch it. So drops you down a few IQ points. And yet, Cindy Williams passed away this weekend. Of course,
I had nothing to do with it.
Surely, I didn't either. But
I have an alibi.
I can explain my whereabouts.
Right, but for America, that was fun. Fun comedy. Happy Days was fun comedy, and in saying that, I kind of would put a different standard on those two programs than I would say Three's Company in comparing them.
Oh yeah,
Andy Williams.
Vern Shirley
Griffin
is okay today.
Mm-hmm.
Mork and Mindy is not. It did not age.
Oh yeah, there's stuff in Mork and Mindy you can't say.
I used to watch Mork and Mindy. I made an appointment to make sure I watched Mork and Mindy. It was the greatest show at all, and I saw it later on in syndication. I said, and I'm sitting here thinking, I can't believe I watched. To me, the best moment of that was at the end when he's talking to Ork, where he's giving his what he learned.
Orson.
You know, that over that series. It's like Gar's moral of the story. It's better in the story sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So
hey now.
Yep. Sometimes.
It is weird. And I went back and I did watch those. I didn't get into the Jonathan Winters season 3. I couldn't deal with that. But the other two I kind of enjoyed them. But then I found flaw with them that I did not see when I watched them.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was watching Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, I was much younger, and I somewhat enjoyed it. I would watch it. Now, there's some of that I cringe
okay.
at.
As long as you stop at the ones where Ron Howard left the show, Happy Days is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That show lasted about a year and a half longer than it should have.
Right. Someone brought to my attention, and there's a comedy to this, which should not be there, okay? There was a television program called CHIPS, California Highway Patrol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Someone brought to my attention.
Patrol, yeah.
Yeah. Gar, there's one here that has Elvira in it, or there's one here that has a monster in it, or something like that. And I was like, I'm not going there. We're not showing that. I have no, there's no appeal whatsoever for CHIPS for me. There wasn't back in the day. Now, Emergency, I'd watch. CHIPS, no. No.
Not a fan of Ponch, huh?
No. No. Just didn't do it. Police Woman or something like that. These dramatic, you know, they were like, or like Starsky and Hutch.
I watched Police Woman. I always wanted Angie Dickerson to frisk me, buddy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The only detective show where half the time she's spent in a go-go lounge dancing to try and get information on bad guys.
That's
a good premise there to work with.
But back when that was TV, that was hot TV. That was like, yeah, man, we gotta watch that. You know, we gotta, I don't know. Our exposure to entertainments and what's out there and stuff, it has definitely changed.
Yeah.
I did mention that. Now I forgot the name of it. Locke and Company or something or whatever that was I mentioned earlier. A brand new little supernatural thing where they live in a world where there is supernatural and they're like companies out there to contain it. Lockwood and Company, I think it's called. If you can find that, you might enjoy that. It's new.
Hmm.
It was a Netflix thing.
Have to check that out. Oh, no, my Netflix is... I'm not paying for it until what you call comes back.
So it's free. Don't pay for it until it's free. That's right.
Well, no, until Stranger Things comes back.
Oh, okay.
Then we might get it back.
Is Netflix? I don't know. Is Netflix something you subscribe to month to month or?
Yes, it costs money.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And my son actually was buying it for everybody, but. It's like, you know what? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not anything worth paying for on a monthly basis until Stranger Things comes back, and then it's worth paying for it for a little while.
Then you can binge it, and then stop for a while again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's the scheme.
So can I ask you a question, Gar?
Yes?
Can I ask you a question, Gar? How did you end up rendering your little video clip?
It's in a program called DaVinci.
Oh, you did it in DaVinci. Okay. It was just
DaVinci
Resolve. What?
I was never able to. That's why all the links are to Dropbox, because I could never knock it down small enough. It's just too much content. And I even tried doing what we said before where I was going to record it on OBS, I could never knock it down. So I eventually was like, nope, we're not going to knock it down. I'll just run it on the Dropbox and give everybody a link to that. So I was never able to knock it down to less than 25 meg.
I had trouble showing that on my phone, the original one, but I didn't check out the the other one yet.
The newer one? Yeah, hopefully it pops.
The new one you put up there. Let me see.
Yeah, that's the final.
Because the other one kept sticking on me, the first Dropbox one.
Okay. Well, maybe the second one will.
Yeah. Just curious. The audio was there, but the video kept sticking.
And Dale, did you get a slight chuckle out of that, or you haven't looked at it yet?
I did get a big chuckle out of it.
I just came across.
He is accusing the Cookie Monster.
Bit of information that I wanted to share with everyone. I just ran across it, and when I did, I almost
it keeps locking up on me.
Really?
Okay.
No, maybe you have to look at it on your desktop.
Yeah, maybe this is what I'll have to do. I tried a variety of things, downloading it to my Dropbox, and I couldn't do that, and wouldn't let me into your Dropbox, of course, where you had it.
I didn't have any trouble. It was weird.
I was watching. I was trying to show it off on my phone.
Right. Well, no, there's something I can do concerning that, is I can actually put it in your Dropbox, and then it should work for you maybe seamlessly.
That should be probably better, yeah. But it's okay. I clicked on it here. I looked there and opened up another window. It says HH clip, and it's just not going to run it for. Oh, there it is. Slowly but slowly.
Slowly but slowly?
Slowly but slowly.
Yahoo Mail.
All right, well. But I was trying to show it to, I'll be trying to show it to some people. So this is my crazy buddy Gar.
Okay, well, I can, I'm going to copy it. Copy. Copy, and then go to Dave.
Okay, here. Let me see. Never mind. I got it here now. Let's see if it plays it. On the computer, I think it'll play it on the computer. Yep, on the computer it plays fine.
Okay.
I just didn't have enough get-go to make it work on my phone right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I sent it to my producer friend. He said, Gar, I can edit this in 20 minutes, but you're not going to learn anything. And he said, I want you to learn on this one. And so it took me about 4 days to finally edit it. And he said, there you go, you learned something. I said, I sure did. And I took notes and everything. Okay, all that.
120 megabytes, huh? 120 megabytes.
Yep. Yep.
120 megabytes of fun.
Yeah. So, no, that was, Dale, that was, I ran across the information about the submerged the ambush predator thing moments before I started the program. So it wasn't part of the program. And so I just scribbled some notes on a piece of paper and put it up on there. And then I just was like, oh, let me go grab a Cookie Monster puppet I had. And I grabbed him and I put him over there. I was like, I just want to tell you guys this. That was all improv from a week ago, and that was part of the program.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, this would be funny as a standalone bit later. And so I edited into that little bit.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to get the large-nosed one out. I'm running out of gas. I've been up since 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern.
You are insane, sir.
Yeah, you know it. If you go to bed right before midnight, you'll get a better night's sleep.
I try. I don't make it. I don't make it very far.
All right, then we got to call in the Schnozola.
And here
is having a birthday on the 10th.
Yeah. What again?
Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry for what we say.
Inka-dinka-doo.
Good night. Good
night.
Good night, folks. And good night,
oh,
Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Wake up, Dale. Wake up, it's time to go to bed.
Great.
Do you mind turning off the radio?